Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. and you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
And we joined today by a special guest, Master Tesfacion.
Nailed it too, bro. Look at that. All that practice you did beforehand, bro. Killed it.
Nailed it, right?
Hey, look, I'm happy to be on, bro. You know, I fuck with you heavy, man. So I'm excited to jump on the pod, bro, and be able to chop it up, man. Good to meet Jason as well.
Master Tesfacion is the host of Untold Stories on Bleacher Report and a senior writer.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Drums or flats?
I ain't going front, bro. I'm a drums dude, bro. I just transitioned over to the flats. I'm not going front. I feel like I got bullied into it, but I've always fucked with the drums. This is where my heart set.
Yeah, I got bullied into the flats too. Everybody said that drums are for poor people. So,
hey man, I grew up poor, so you know what? Fuck it, dog. I'm sticking with drums. Fuck y'all flats, motherfuckers, bro. We out here on the drums, baby.
Drum side over here. Cheetos or Doritos?
Oh, Cheetos for sure.
Mute or unfollow?
I'm gonna hit you with the unfollow. I really don't care.
Sweats or shorts?
Sweats all day, all day.
Mexican or Chinese food?
I'm down in Texas. Got to get them with the Tex-Mex. You feel me?
Yep. College or the NFL?
NFL.
PTI or around the horn?
Ooh, damn. That one's tough, bro. I'm going to go around the horn.
Stephen A. or Ahmad Rashad?
Ahmad Rashad.
Bills or Jets?
I'll go Bills, Bills Mafia. Shout out Griselda.
Bengals or Browns?
I'm going to go Browns. If you're going to lose, you might as well get drunk with it with a bunch of people that want to get drunk with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Raiders or Niners?
I'm going to go Raiders, man. Yeah, Raiders.
Falcons or Saints?
Saints. Yeah, Saints.
2 p.m. or 2 a.m.?
Ooh, 2 a.m. There's a whole lot more memories I remember at 2 a.m. than I do 2 p.m. Yeah.
A lot more things I forgot at 2 a.m.
That too. That I like to forget as well.
Yeah. Ready to Die or Life After Death?
Ready to Die.
No Way Out or The Dynasty?
Dynasty.
Travis Scott or Kid Cudi?
I got a Travis Scott hoodie on right now, baby. There it is. You know what I'm saying? Reppin' Texas. You already know. Travis Scott.
Drake or The Weeknd?
Drake. But it's close because The Weeknd, Chop Not Slop, House of Balloons, Chop Not Slop is probably my favorite Chopped and Screwed tape ever. Yeah. And if there was one that probably even comes close to it, is Nothing Was the Same, Chop Not Slop, bro. Those two tapes are unbelievable. But I just have to go Drake just because, you know, he got some slappers out here in the club. You know what I'm saying? That just, right. He got that other side to him that I don't think The Weeknd do.
I got to listen to that House of Balloons, but Nothing Was the Same, Chop Not Slop is amazing.
Classics. Yeah.
Grambling or Southern?
I'm going to go Grambling.
Howard or Morehouse?
Howard. Shout out to all the Howard alums.
Zeke or Emmett?
Woo. I got to go Emmett.
Romo or Dak?
Dak. All day. Every day.
Bitcoin or Ethereum?
XRP, man. Fuck all that other shit, dog. We XRP gang over here, bro.
So, leads into my next question. XRP or NFTs?
XRP all day, man. Fuck all that other shit, man. We getting money over here with the central banks. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, decentralized, man. DeFi gang.
Hey, in an idealistic world, that shit sounds great, but how the real world works?
Well, we're seeing how the real world works. Right now, Bitcoin is 54,000.
For sure. So XRP is going to be that back in the
summer. Y'all gang banging on crypto?
You already know.
You already know Bitcoin gang. Big hey, B's over
shout
here.
Out everybody got Bitcoin. Shout out Ethereum, Litecoin, all that shit. Bitcoin Cash. You know, I'll be trading back and forth, bro. I'll be getting up at like 3 a.m. just checking on what's going on in China and Japan, just making sure that I'm on this shit, man. This shit makes fun, bro.
Yeah, for real. I don't really even be sleeping. I'll be up all day watching the markets. You feel me?
Hell yeah. Same, man.
Yep. Lox or Bone Thugs?
Bone Thugs. My first concert ever was Bone Thugs.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be on a Bone Thugs message board. Like, they style is just so unique that to this day, it's hard to find someone that or a group that's been able to do what they did. I fuck with them heavy, heavy.
Yeah, I love Thug Love, by the way. That was one of my favorite songs. Yeah. Rodgers or Brady?
Damn. I mean, I got to go Brady now. Like, seven? You kind of asked it, right?
Yeah. Right. It's weird because technically, you would want to say that Rodgers is a better quarterback, but it's like
more talented. But now you just sound like a hater if you say anything against Brady. Like, it's just that's the stage that we're at now. And it's hard to accept that as someone has hated Brady literally his entire career. But he's hater proof at this point.
Exactly. Anthony Hamilton songs, Charlene or Lucille?
Oh, Charlene. Charlene.
Drew Hill or Jagged Edge?
Damn, this one hard, bro. I feel like Jagged Edge, like, I'm gonna go Drew Hill.
I'm gonna go Drew Hill.
But hey, shout out Jagged Edge though, because they had some slappers, bro.
They had some slappers. Keys to the Range, still go.
That's how it be, dog.
This is classic.
Might as well do it, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, let's get married. Fuck it.
Facts. Jokic or Embiid?
Man, Embiid balling right now.
Dame or Steph?
I mean, Steph.
Tesla?
Damn, or these Lambo. Questions are hard, bro. Damn.
Yeah. Tesla or Lambo?
Man, Logan Murdoch done got me on these damn Teslas, bro. Like, it's that Bay Area, Oakland shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Tesla right now. The Teslas, I got a mapped out Tesla in my head. A brown Tesla. They discontinued the brown color, but I'm gonna find a way to get that brown color.
Yeah.
With peanut butter insides, and I want to be the first person throwing some elbow rims on the Tesla. You feel
on
me?
The Tesla.
That's how I'm feeling right now. You feel me?
Yeah. I feel that. Dudley Boys or the Hardy Boys?
Oh damn, bro. Man, I gotta go Hardy Boys, man. Jeff Hardy was just always on some, like, man, fuck it shit. And I always rock with that. You know, shout out to Dudley Boys, 3D and everybody, you feel me? But
3D, man, throwing niggas to the table. Like, come on.
That shit was amazing, bro. But like, dog, every time you watch like a Hardy Boys match, you knew you was gonna see some crazy flying shit, dog. Like, they was gonna figure out how can I get on the roof of this structure of this building, and how hard is it gonna hurt for me to jump off that thing? And they was like, fuck it, let's do it. It's
sure.
I always enjoyed this, how they just didn't give a fuck.
NWO or D-Generation X?
Oh, DX. Yeah. DX, I got two words for you.
Sure.
NWO, they had a fucking fire-ass theme song. That one with the little guitar, that would just be riffing. That shit
was hard. That shit was hard.
And I got an NWO hoodie in the closet. When they do the black and white flickering shit, all that shit was great presentation-wise.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan just, what I'm saying? He said it, his reputation speaks for itself at this point. It's hard for me to root for anything NWO-wise at that point beyond that.
Right. And in case you guys didn't know, the two words are suck it. T.O. or Calvin Johnson?
Woo! Man. Damn. I got to go T.O., bro. I got to go T.O.
Yeah.
I got to go T.O.
Remember the Titans or Any Given Sunday?
Any Given Sunday.
Now, it's funny. I just want to say something real quick about this. I asked Bomani this exact same question, and Bomani had not seen either one of these movies. Word. I thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy.
Damn. Yeah. Wild, I guess, right? Like, sports movies are always, like, mad cheesy. Like, I haven't watched Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Yeah.
Just the simple fact, if I need to go see what Friday Night Lights looks like, I can just go in my backyard over here in Texas.
Right.
Because I saw the movie, but I remember just like falling asleep during the movie. I wasn't really rocking with the movie either.
Yeah, I never seen the movie. I haven't watched it from beginning to end. It's one of the only sports movies I don't think I've seen.
I actually like that movie, but
yeah, I'm gonna have to Friday watch Night Lights. It. Yeah. But I know the story. It's about Boobie Miles, right?
100%. Yeah, I gotta rewatch that. Yeah, it's just the thing was, like, people from Dallas, like the way it was, especially black people from Dallas, like Carter was the team. You know what I'm saying? So like it was like, and Carter was a team that was like, it had a much better story. And that's a team that also ends up going to state championship. And then, I don't know, it's just always for us, was like, well, damn, like who's going to tell that story? You know what I'm saying? Right. Even though eventually they obviously did in the last couple of years, but that was a team for us that was like, that's the real Friday Night Lights, you know?
Right. Varsity Blues or Jerry Maguire?
Say it with me one time, Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Let not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money!
I ain't going front with you. I ain't watched either one of those.
Either one of them?
Nah.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire, I've seen. That's crazy. You got to see Jerry Maguire, though. I ain't going to lie.
Definitely, I see Jerry Maguire. I just showed my girl that movie for the first time. She was crying the other night.
For real?
Yeah. It's a good movie because Cuba won the Oscar for it. But it's like, you know, not to give it the whole thing away, but, you know, basically Cuba's like a
I'm hitting on the concept because I've seen so many clips and stuff like that. At this point, like I feel like I've seen the movie, but it's one of those things. If I ever said I watched that movie, I was definitely capping because of all these clips.
I was gonna say you gotta see it because you can't add "Show Me the Money" to your lexicon without it.
Without it, for sure.
And he went to Arizona State, so it's like, that's my own alum.
And he was a Cardinal.
Yep, all Arizona. Varsity Blues is just like a silly high school movie, but like. It's also, you know, it's famous for the scene with the girl putting the whipped cream on her shit, on her titties and all that. So,
I don't even remember that.
Allie Larder. Shout out to Allie Larder.
He was a young, horny lad.
Hey, man, where we are? Anyway, moving on. Ocho Cinco or Chris Carter?
Ocho Cinco.
Jerry Rice or Randy Moss?
Randy Moss.
Wow. All right,
I'm saying it too.
I mean, it's a one and a 1A, you know, question. But I feel like, you know, a lot of the older cast would be like Jerry Rice. I was a Niners fan, so I'll always say Jerry Rice. But I mean, damn, Randy Moss is low key the best.
Moss this, Moss that, bro.
Yeah, he's the best to ever do it. Rick Ross or Young Thug?
Damn, this is the hardest one, bro.
Ooh, boom shakalaka.
I fuck with, like, both of them, like, are two of my favorite artists of this generation, period. Like, they may be top two.
Yeah.
Nip up there too. Right around up, if I had to make a top three. Man, I'm gonna go with Young Thug just off the strength of creativity and the audacity to just be bold.
Yeah.
But man, Ross is like, man, elegance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
now Ross is a whole. When you want to feel rich, like, listen to Rick Ross.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? When you just want to just, like, you want to get into some shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, Young Thug is the best. Young Thug music is amazing for that shit, bro. It's just like, fuck it. If you just in that mentality, just say, fuck it. Listen to some Young Thug.
Yep. Jay-Z or Lil Wayne?
I'm going to go Wayne.
Adam 22 or DJ Academics?
Wait, say that again?
Adam 22 or DJ Academics?
Bro, I don't know who Adam 22 is, and I don't follow DJ Academics, so.
There you go. Yeah, Adam 22 has that No Jumper podcast that, you know, niggas be telling on themselves on, and just kind of almost like a DJ.
Oh, is that the one, like, I would see, like, yeah, okay, I know
he does No Jumper.
Yeah, like with the
You'll
girl.
You'll see the clips on Twitter. The
girl from the Suns that was topping all the Suns off.
That's crazy.
She
was on his podcast.
They're both in that same lexicon where they're just like, they're out there, but like, I'll see them on my timeline, but I rarely ever will like engage with that shit.
Sometimes I just ask a question of like two people that like niggas don't fuck with it just to see if which one nigga would
man, pick. Hey, man, I guess I'd pick Adam. I don't know.
Right. Supreme or Polo?
Oh, Polo. Like, no disrespect to Supreme, but Polo, like, that's the shit. That's everything, bro.
Right.
Yeah. To this day.
Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Netflix.
Training Day or American Gangster?
Damn. I'm gonna go Training Day. Hey, at some point, people need to respect that Jay-Z. If you argue and say American Gangster is Jay-Z's best album, you have a
case. Yeah, I mean, you have a legitimate argument there. And I was listening to Blue Magic the other day, and it's like one of the most underrated collabs that he has with Pharrell. I mean,
yo,
it's a great song. It's amazing. The beat is stupid.
The beat is ridiculous, bro. And Jay floated on that shit, man.
Yeah, he really did. Now the whole album is incredible.
For real.
Yep. 1999 or 2021?
Just in terms of years?
Yeah.
Shit, 2021.
Yeah.
Fuck what you talking about. It's going to be dope ass year. You feel me?
Yeah, exactly. In Search Of or Fly or Die?
In Search Of.
Say the right answer. I was going to say.
In Search Of, dog. Oh my God. That album was transformative, bro.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, that's one of the like defining albums I feel like of our lifetime.
Like, hell yeah, man. Like that. It's funny if you look back at 2001. I don't know. I've just been doing this recently, man, because no one really wants to look back at 2001 for obvious reasons. But if you look back at it from a cultural standpoint, obviously the Blueprint drop. But then you had In Search Of the drop, T.I.'s I'm Serious drop. Like you had a bunch of people from the South that was really starting to like plant their seeds in terms of who they were and what they were about to be.
Fabulous came out.
Huh?
Fabulous came out.
What came out?
Fabulous, the rapper.
Oh yeah, Fabulous. Yeah, Fabulous came out alongside with the Blueprint too, man. It was that year is like you looking back at it 20 years later, you see kind of how transformative it was into the landscape we're seeing right now.
Yep. Rose Bowl or Iron Bowl?
Rose Bowl.
Cotton Bowl or Sugar Bowl?
Cotton Bowl. I'm from Texas. I'm from Dallas. Cotton Bowl is always gonna be a priority.
And then the last one, Dallas or Houston?
Dallas, man. Fuck you talking about, man. Hey, I fuck with people from Houston, man, but they always be trying to knock Dallas and saying like we the ghetto version of them. You feel me? And you know what? I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? We're cool with that. But we got something to say too. So what was your?
That's the one of the two, man.
In 2021, mental health is finally a thing. So many people are struggling right now and aren't feeling like their normal selves. Look, therapy helps. And it doesn't have to be sitting around just talking about your feelings. So what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. You can privately talk to someone if you feel like you're not dealing well with stress or you're having relationship issues. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better. Because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. See if it's for you, because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Black Opinions Matter listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/BOM. That's BetterHelp.com/BOM.
Yo, yo. definitely fire. He had some good questions for you, shook it up a little bit, and we got some information about Texas football, so that was fire. Tell me your connection with Listen to Music, Young Master Listen to Music.
Man, music, I always felt like it was just a soundtrack to my life, you know? And looking back on it now, there's just a lot of information in terms of just like understanding that I got out of music first, like as a creative and just being able to hear it, absorb it, appreciate it. But then also just from a lyrical standpoint, I think in some cases, rappers are underrated, underappreciated because they're almost like local journalists in terms of a community in which they're describing or the environment in which they're describing that oftentimes you wouldn't see, you know, covered or talked about or discussed in any other way. So it was just insanely attractive in terms of just its appeal to me. And man, like, I'm trying to think of, like, songs that I remember growing up. Obviously, I caught the tail end of, like, before Biggie and Pac passed away. You know what I'm saying? I remember that. Here in Texas, though, at the same time, Skrull was just jam it. You know what I'm saying? And so whole movement was popping off here in Texas, you know, with Screw and Scarface, you know what I'm saying? Doing his thing, Legend. And then, of course, you know, UGK, which, you know, probably had the biggest influence, one of the biggest influences on my life, in particular Pimp C. Just always felt like people on the TV screen was just kind of like, I don't know, just couldn't relate to them. I couldn't relate to a lot of famous people. Like, the idea of fame was something that I never was found appealing or attracted to, because, A, growing up in poverty in Section 8, you know what I'm saying, the two immigrant parents, they're like, you know, just trying to figure out a way. Like, that's just a whole different world that you're not even envisioning. Like, it's make-believe, you know, it's fiction. I just always felt like Pimp was just like, he was just a real motherfucker and someone that you can genuinely, like, you could feel him, you know what I'm saying? And he was able to still find ways to kind of, despite how big he was, to touch down and relate to folks that oftentimes people would marginalize or look over. And just talking about the culture and stuff like that within Texas and seeing that representation, I was like, man, I was like 7 or 8. When Big Pimpin' music video dropped, and I didn't have cable, but one of my mom's friends was babysitting me at her house, and all she would do was just kind of lock me in the room, and I'll just, you know, just have TV, and basically she thought I was watching Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, or something like that. I'm flipping over to MTV and BET, and I see the Big Pimpin' music video for the first time, bro. What y'all know about them Texas boys coming down in candy toys, smoking weed, talking noise? I was like, oh shit, these boys from Texas? That shit crazy. And after that point, man, I had all these dreams of just having, like, you know, you see all the cars that be driving around you and stuff. That's when I started really envisioning, like, damn, I could own a drop top candy red Cadillac, you feel me, with elbows and the wood grain wheel and all these different things, and being able to own diamond grill and some chains and rings and stuff like that. Man, I had that dream for years as a result of just being able to see someone from Texas on the big screen like that. And I don't know, to this day, I still feel like there's a side of me that's still chasing it. That still at some point wants to get that Fleetwood lack, you know what I'm saying? And at some point just ice out of my mouth, you know what I'm saying? Just to at least prove to myself and that kid, that 7 to 8 year old kid that was kind of dreaming and envisioning, trying to do something big with his career or with his life, that you did it, you know? Like, so, and music kind of provide that inspiration.
So Big Pimpin' was the first exposure to UGK, kind of?
Yeah, I would say that. Like, there was other times when UGK was playing, but I didn't.
Yeah, you just didn't have an idea of who the artist was at the particular time.
Exactly. Yeah. Like same thing with like 3-6 Mafia. Like, there's a whole lot of 3-6 Mafia songs that I look back on now and I'm like, damn, I knew them before I even knew them.
Yeah, who they were, because it was just, you know, they were just ringing bells out there for sure.
All the homies, all the people in Section, they just be playing the music. So you just be rocking with it. You know, you don't be asking too many questions.
Yeah, I mean, what were you going
to
say?
No, not to cut you off, Trey, but so I just want to ask real quick. So you didn't hear Sippin' on Some Scissor before that?
Nah, like, see, well, that's one of them songs, though, like you would hear around, but I just didn't know who it was.
Right.
Like, same thing with like Fat Pat, you know what I'm saying? Because like the thing is, all these Texas people, like they had a similar sound to them. So it was hard to differentiate, like, who was Fat Pat, who was ESG, you know what I'm saying? Only one that was like really distinctive was like Slim Thug and like Lil Flip. Cause like every 5 seconds, Lil Flip remind you he Lil Flip. You know what I'm saying? So like he found a way to put in his rhymes. But in terms of like Sippin' on Some Scissor, like it took me to listen to, like, you know, I was probably like, what, 6 at the time, whatever the case was. Like, once I saw Big Pimpin', because again, you see Jay-Z featuring UGK, at that point, it's just like, you see it, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of those things I just had to see to understand and connect the dots in terms of who it was, because I wasn't going to ask questions. I just enjoyed it and appreciated it in the background.
Yeah, I remember going, you know, I went to TSU 2003, and I was in H, and I had knew of like Scarface and UGK and Bun B, and I mean, you can go down the line with all the artists, Paul Wall, Mike Jones. When I really got there, I discovered Screw, right? And at this time, still is around, so it wasn't like, you know, just a myth or you should have been there, because T-Town and you know, the Galleria and, you know, the Sharpstown Mall, and you can go down the line of what was going on. And but there was this big feud, right? For one, it was the North versus the South. Mm-hmm. And then you had Cloverland versus T.I. And it was just making that transition. I remember before I left in 05, seeing all that and just being exposed to the screw culture. You know what I mean? Being on the radio, hearing Destiny's Child Soldier slowed down and chopped, you know what I'm saying? Not chopped and slopped, but really chopped, you know what I'm saying? And then also, you know, the R&B songs and being able to go to the club and get a full course meal if you get there early enough in time and then get your drinks, bro. Like, I wasn't even old enough to drink. I don't even think I was like almost 21, but bro, you get there at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., bro, you can, they got a buffet lined up.
Hell yeah.
I love the South, man. And yeah, just seeing everything, bro. Like, it was just, you know, Southern hospitality to its finest.
And yo, what about when T.I. ended Lil Flip's career? Do y'all remember that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It was, you know, overall, it almost got violent, bro. Yeah, like, they had to step in because
it was such a quick, battle. And like, Lil Flip went from, I remember hearing Game Over everywhere. I used to play it at the high school games. At every high school game, they played that song. It was like the number one song. And then even Like a Pimp was like slapping him and David Banner. Like, that's, I mean, that song still goes, but it seemed like Lil Flip had a career.
I don't think it was more so on Tip though. It was the lawsuit from Namco that just took all his, like, not took his bread, because he still has some money and he's in Colorado now, you know, doing marijuana stuff. But,
it was though, because he exposed him as being corny. Like, he basically put him in the leprechaun.
But that was the thing. He the man. Like, he's still good in Cloverland.
He didn't have no hits after that. He didn't have nothing.
But that's
after
what
that.
I'm saying. Like, he was fighting off that lawsuit off of using the Pac-Man. It just took all the momentum out of everything that he was potentially doing. And as soon as that happened, Mike Jones was like, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody just jumped on the next thing. Like, oh, okay, well, Houston got this. Mike Jones came, then you got Slim Thug, then you got Chameleonaire, which Chameleonaire was Mixtape Messiah. And he was going off for a long time on the mixtape scene, beefing with Mike Jones.
Right.
Like, they weren't getting along. It was a bunch of Texas artists just,
they were just beefing because the money got bigger, bro. Like, the money,
exactly.
The money kept growing, bro. And it's a point where, like, even Paul Wall, Chameleonaire, grew up together.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Went to the same school. I think actually Bo went to the same school as them, too. And, man, they dropped a fire-ass mixtape together, bro. Get your mind correct, bro.
Yep.
Like, I still play that to this day, bro. They had a song called In Love With My Money, bro. That shit, you talk about that shit, chopped and slop, bro. That's still, to this day, one of my favorite songs ever, bro. Like, that's really what, like, helped me, inspire me to be like, bro, nah, let's just get this money, bro. Like, let's get it. Like, it was a song that I could, like, it was like one of those first songs we remember, I know word for word. And once that first beat drops, you know what I'm saying, when that bass kicks, like, nah, I'm in this shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
But then they ended up beefing. And they was going through some things too. And like, but it's exactly what you talked about. Like, everyone just kept taking off to where, like, Flip still get respect. Freestyle King, bro. Like, he, you can go back on his tape still to this day and them shits be slapping. So it's, but yeah, in terms of that, all that beef stuff, like, I don't, 2000 was just a weird ass time when it comes to, like, the hip hop beef, man. Cause it was a lot of people that were beefing, probably because the financial stakes got higher and higher and people just getting the greed just of capitalism just consumed everybody. That, I don't know. As much as it's like probably something people enjoy to see, because, you know, people like to see messy shit, I'm glad we're seeing fewer hip hop beats, because it's just pointless. It's really stupid to begin with.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, like Pimp and, you know, other artists being your favorites. Like, mine was Zero. Like, the first time I heard Ro was like, you know what I mean, because he had it.
Yes,
you know what I mean, he could sing, he can rap, he had the beat. He could freestyle all day. You know what I'm saying? The first time I heard it was at the Kappa. And I was just like, yo. And then when they came out with Eyes of Player, that just took me.
Eyes of Player.
Eyes of Mac. You know what I mean? Like, when I heard that, like, I was like, yeah, all right. The H got it. You know, like, for sure. You know what I mean? Tell me about going to the Rec Center.
Man, the Rec was like my safe haven, man. Like, for real. It was just a place that, like, I would go damn near every day with my homies, just growing up, man. Shit, we would just hoop all day, then go in the game room. Just, that's a big reason why the Untold Stories pool concept came out, was because, you know, after we was done playing basketball, we was just tired, we go in the game room and we just all shoot pool with ESPN on, you know, playing for quarters or dollars, whatever the case was, and just shooting the shit, talking, you know. And, you know, outside of that, like, just we just start just doing some, like, you know, just stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Just find a way. Just get in trouble. Go outside or some shit. Go run to 7-Eleven. You know, go run to the mall, which was, like, right up the creek. Man, it was just a lot of great memories, man. A lot of great times. Playing dodgeball, playing flag football, playing softball, baseball. It was just, you could go there and literally, like, people would get there at 10 a.m. and then they wouldn't leave till 10 p.m. It's kind of one of those little special places. So, especially with just everyone in the community, like, especially looking back on it now, you know, everyone had a lot of things going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's parents was just kind of like, you know, living check to check, you know what I'm saying? Trying to make it work, you know, working multiple jobs. So, it kind of served as a good benefit for the parents because it gave them a place where they could just go, you know what I'm saying? And not be stuck in the house, especially in the summer times. And they had at least some level of comfort and understanding where they were going to be at. Where for us, you know, it's just, I don't know, just some of my favorite memories came out of that rec center, man. I'm always going to be appreciative for that.
Jason, was there any rec centers that you were involved in when you were a kid?
Nah, I mean, I played at the Englewood Y, which was kind of like a rec center. That's where I learned to swim. That's where I hooped at when I was a kid. It was, you know, it was kind of like the same type of vibe. I feel like a lot of people in LA played at that Englewood Y. You know what I'm saying? That was just like the hub of like how we talked about before, like playing Pogs and all that over the summer. You know what I'm saying? Summer camp up there. But yeah, I never really had like a proper rec center, but the Englewood YMCA was for sure like about as close as it came for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think in LA we really had that because obviously the games too, they was just territorial. But I did get a chance to spend a lot of time at the Salvation Army in Compton. And when I was in Portland, it was in my dad's side of the family, Matt Dishman, where they had like the craziest ICs and then they had a crazy pool that I would, you know, I would pull up to when I was like 10, 11, when I would go out to Portland every summer. This last one is killing me right now. What is the relationship with being mischievous?
I would always just get into some shit, bro. Like, that's the thing. Like, that was the other fun part in terms of the rec center, bro. Like, man, the Urban Mall was just like right up the creek, bro. And man, we like whenever we just get bored, like, all right, we didn't play 5 hours of basketball. Like, we didn't play enough pool right now. What the fuck are we trying to get into? Let's go steal some shit from the mall. You know what I'm saying? Just shit like that, bro. Like it got to the point where Irving police, one time we didn't even steal nothing. One time we just pulled up there, just go to the food court to get some food and like hit up a little Taco Bell, whatever the case was. And just, you know, get one of those little 99-cent burritos, you know, everybody just splitting in, trying to make it work. And as we were walking out, a police officer just kind of cut us off. And he was just like, basically just talking about how we're just always in the mall and like we see you guys on the cameras, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all better watch what y'all doing. And he pointed at me, he said, especially you, baby face, you know what I'm saying? Because I had the big ass cheeks, and at the time I was just a really, really big, like, you know, I was wearing them Dickies Huskies, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was one of them dudes. And so ever since then, like, a couple of my friends would always just call me baby face as a result of that. And it was just shit like that, bro. Stealing from TJ Maxx, 7-Eleven, like, we didn't give a fuck, bro. My man, like, I just did not, like, there was very little thought that I gave into anything. It was just reacting off instincts, bro. And it was just like, cool, fuck it, let's just get in some shit, and I'm sure we'll figure out a way to, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, get some food or whatever the case may be. But the thing was, every single time I got in some shit, like, probably the most valuable thing I ever stole from the mall was, like, a jersey for my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, or just, right. like.
I remember when I was going to Fairfax High School, the homie stole a jersey, like, by using me as a decoy. he stole like, you know, them Foot Locker throwbacks, not like the Mitchell and Ness throwbacks. It was like a Foot Locker Sixers throwback. And I was in there buying some Adidas, like it was 2 for $89 for the shell toes.
Hell so yeah.
I'm in there copping, and he like, yo, just go over here, like, why they giving you the shoes? I'm like, what? He like, just go over here. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like on one side of the store, and then I see the nigga like putting the jersey underneath his shirt. I'm like, broke out. But yeah.
That's crazy you mentioned that. My sister, this dude she was dating in Seattle, bro, nigga tried to like win me over, right? Because I'm grown at this time, right? It's my little sister too, so I'm already like not even feeling it. He like, oh man, I'll take you to the mall, man. I'm like, not to buy me anything, but just to get me out the crib, because I had been in the crib, it was raining. I'm like, all right, whatever. We get to the mall, bro. He like, yo, you like this? I'm like, yeah. So like, I turn. He like, yo, no, stand right here. My nigga was stuffing Seattle Seahawks jerseys in his pants, North Face jackets. Bro, I don't even know. When we get to the car, he pulled out like $800 of merchandise. I said, nah. I would call my sister like, bro, this who y'all got me with, bro? Like, I'm not feeling this. So I can only imagine how you felt like with your homie doing that. This is somebody I don't even know. So if we went down, I would have killed thee.
Man, bro, I do not want to go down for that shit. I was like, I came out the store and he was all smiles and shit. I'm like, dog, what is you doing?
Hey, could you imagine sitting in the back of the seat, bro? Like, it right. broke all that weak shit. Like, yo, at right. least let me do it myself.
Yeah, exactly. Damn. Yeah, like, why are you trying to impress you on that level, bro? Like, that. How old was he, though? Because at that point, like, that's some, like, 14, 15-year-old shit, if that.
Trey, how old was your sister? Oh,
the dude? I thought you were talking about Jason, homie. Nah, this nigga was like 28, 29.
Oh, no.
I was like 31, bro. I was mad because I'm like, you know how Seattle is, bro. It's just rain.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been in the crib for like 2 weeks. My sister thought I was just depressed. I'm like, no, I just don't like it. I'm from LA. We don't like just getting wet, bro. Our day stop if it's rain outside versus other states, snow, rain, nothing stops. Like, that's just... you know, the motion. And, you know, I was just chilling. I was sleeping all the time. So she like, nah, bro, my brother got to get out. And I went out with this fool, and this fool was just lifting the whole entire store, bro. Like, crazy.
Hey, so Master, real quick, let me ask you, like, how did you get into, like, you know, doing your show, interviewing players and all that? Like, did you go to college for any of that? Or you just.
Yeah. It was something I didn't realize until my senior year of high school. I just always enjoyed sports. And I was in this high school where I was basically like part of the media tech group. You know what I'm saying? I just did it for an easy A to get on camera and girls maybe like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, just fuck around. Like, I was just very popular at school. So I was like, fuck it. This easy A, you know, more popularity. I ain't tripping. Ended up falling in love with it because it was the first time I was actually able to be like, appreciate, like, learn to be creative and embracing creativity. And, man, I enjoyed it a lot, but I just knew, like, this is just high school, bro. Like, this ain't gonna happen again. Senior high school, my teacher tells me, like, you talk about sports all the time. Why don't you become a sports writer? And it just wasn't something that I was thinking about until the moment because I didn't think it was possible. One thing led to another. Ended up pulling out, like, $120,000 in student loans at ASU just because it was considered one of the best journalism schools in the country, and I needed to get out of my environment if I felt like I was gonna really try and take this thing to the next level. And just grinded, man. Internships every summer, bro. I was always working on some shit. Skipping a lot of class just to go to practices, football practices, basketball practices. And just kept, like, just focusing on the grind and focusing on the work. I tried to learn as much as I could to the T in terms of, like, the letter of the law of it. Because as I was just talking about in terms of my mischievousness, as I've grown to learn, like, how to, like, use that spirit that I have into, like, in a professional manner, I'm very much someone that loves to learn the rules so I can learn how to tastefully break them. And the reason why I would break them is just simply put because I don't feel like the space or this career profession I'm in is created for people like me or is meant for people like
Breach.
Me. You know what I'm saying?
Breach.
Like, you know, so I feel like, hey, that's, you know, let me use all the bullshit I done learned from all the stupid shit that I've done and at least apply it to something that I at least can be disruptive in that can actually be productive. So that's just the way I've been operating, man. And through newspapers, a senior writer at BR, you know what I'm saying? And I finally got the opportunity to host the show. So it took me back to the broadcast space in which I entered in and knew. So I knew with this space, I wanted to take in these different elements of my own childhood and these experiences which I've learned over the course of my life and apply them here in a space that I feel like could be very safe and could resemble a show that I loved growing up, Rap City. You know,
right.
The basement was the concept there. The concept here is the pool hall. So. Right. It all tied in and you know, still I'm thankful because this journey, especially this profession, like a lot of people lose themselves in this shit. You know what I'm saying? And that was something that I always knew, no matter what kind of risk I was going to take, that I always wanted to make sure I could look myself in the mirror and look myself in the eye and appreciate where I'm at in this space and be present with myself. And I feel like I'm thankful that I've been able to preserve that, you know what I'm saying? And still maintain my authenticity while still growing. And it's a very difficult, that the process that it's been, but it's been rewarding and enjoyable, man. I think this is what you're saying. The product of it is the root of it is me being able to have real, you know, chill, genuine conversations with with athletes and hopefully other people that we try to bring on into the pool hall and allow them just to be themselves, man. Cause those are my favorite conversations I have with people. You know, when you're trying to, you know, put up the front, you know, you're talking from your ego or trying to be up to you or some shit like that. Like, I'm just like, sometimes I'll go along with it cause you just kind of have to. Trades, I'm sure y'all understand, like, it's just in the industry, there's just certain moments you just got to go along with it, but I fucking hate it, you know. I'd rather just have a conversation with someone, some real, like, genuine shit, and just let that be that, you know. But it's just hard to do. So being able to create a safe space in which you can create those kind of conversations and creating that environment was crucial and a big reason why the show has been as successful as it has been.
Yeah, man. Positive disruption is something I was just speaking with somebody about. It was a phrase I hadn't heard, but something that I definitely want to add into my lexicon, because I think that's what a lot of people like yourself are really, you know, pushing forward is with, you know, the content and just the thought process is positive disruption in the media space and in the sports media space specifically. I wanted to ask you too, who's been your favorite interview? And then, like, on top of that, a secondary question to that is, your first moment that you went viral, you know, was it with this? And if it was with this, how did that feel?
My favorite interview, I think it had to be Jason Terry, bro. Like, man, like, the Mavs, my team, bro. Like, the 2011 Mavs, like, that's a team and an experience that that's the only team that I've ever rooted for that won a chip. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't on no, like, bandwagon and shit. It was like, nah, like we rocking with Michael Finley, we rocking with Steve Nash, we rocking with Dirk, and just dealing with all the bullshit, you know, and all the journeys and treks that they got to, and never thinking they were gonna get to that space, and being able to beat a team that obviously, I mean, the Big Three speaks for itself in Miami, but being able to have those memories and moments as a fan, and being able to share that with someone who played a huge role on that team, bro, that shit was wild, bro. Like, it was so much fun. So I'm thankful for that. And I hope we can get Dirk at some point, man. That's the next spot, bro. I need to get Dirk on the show, man, because that should be cool. In terms of, you know, going viral, like, I mean, it's happened constantly in terms of just different spaces, though. Beat writing, feature writing, all these different things. But I'll use the example in terms of just, like, when I knew the show, like, Untold Stories was it. And it was episode 3 with Percy Harvin. And that was a level of going viral that I don't think I've ever experienced before, where, like, there was like 3 million views on Twitter alone in 24 hours. And people was just really fucking with just the authenticity that we just displayed in the conversation. And, you know, Percy just kept it a buck, you know. It was, you know, shout out to Percy, because we had a conversation beforehand where I knew certain of these details just from reporting other things that I've done in the past that I've known. And I just approached him. I was like, yo, hey, you know, here's why I want to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you cool talking about that? He like, yeah, for sure. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. And the way he was able to just kind of have that conversation with, like, a broader theme of, like, mental health and Black mental health, and him being able to display the maturity and the growth that he's gone through in the process of, you know, the absence of which we haven't seen him. Man, it just made for a beautiful episode that. I think a lot of people learned a lot more about him, you know, his migraines and all the things that he was going through from his experiences and his perspective, and got to understand, you know, what it's like to be an athlete on the other side, you know, and that's when I really felt like, oh, we got something here like that. And it felt special while we were on set, you know what I'm saying? And it just gave me that validation where there's sometimes where you just have certain feelings, where you know this thing gonna go, you know what I'm saying? But you're not sure how people are gonna respond or react to it. And you're always kind of concerned. It's like, is it going to match up your expectations? Because if it doesn't, like, that's a very disappointing feeling that's a creative to have. But that one felt special on set. And then it felt special when it dropped. And then that was like probably one of my favorite moments of my career.
Yeah, I actually remember when that happened, Doug. I mean, I don't think I hit you on that particular episode, but I was geeking for you because, you know, I remember when it first rolled out, I was just like, yeah, like, he got a show, like, let's go, let's push it. You know what I mean? And then obviously, you know, we got a chance to hang out in Arizona.
Yeah, you got me on that vegan shit now, bro. That's all I'm eating, bro.
And like, I ain't even vegan no more, bro. That's the crazy thing about it. Yeah, bro. You know what I'm saying? I had to switch it up on y'all, on the boys, man. but you know, like, nah, I'm a flexitarian, bro. I eat vegan food, you know, probably like 3 times a week. But
flexitarian?
Yeah, that's what it's called. I wish it was cooler, but it's a real term.
Oh, it is? No.
Yeah, it's a real term. It's like being flexible with your meals.
You get the word flexing there. So I feel like you can make it cool, bro.
Yeah, just trying to make it cool, man. Just trying to make it cool. We still keeping it healthy out here, but still, you know, getting the chickens, the fish, and all the stuff that I need. It's a question that we ask all our guests on the show. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Man. Be bold, be fearless, and shit. There's going to be experiences that you've gone through in your life that, you know, sometimes it just won't make sense. And it's just going to be a part of your identity, who you are. You know what I'm saying? And make sure you just take the time to truly process those moments, because your personal growth is just as important as your professional growth, you know? And that's been kind of one of the more beautiful things about, as you get older, it's just kind of understanding that and appreciating that. Like how much being able to unpack things that you've gone through, experiences you've gone through, whether it's good or bad, and understanding how that is like the makeup of you. That is your identity. And just enjoy that process, because it's, if you stick on that and you stay true to that, you'll enjoy what's on the other side of that.
That's great. That's excellent advice right there, man. I'm glad that you were able to come on this show and join us and, you know, share some of that realism. And then also we tap in with the Texas culture. And, you know, obviously, you know, Jason came with the hard questions as one of the two to knock you off your toes. And we can't wait to see this next episode, you know, of, you said, featuring Nate Robinson.
Yeah, we got Nate the Great on. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna switch it up. We got a couple cross sports coming in. Gonna get some women finally in the pool hall. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, man, it's gonna be a great year. Another great year of Untold Stories. Stay tuned. Stay locked in.
And shout out to the women. It's International Women's Month. We always want to show them love.
Always.
Yeah, man. Feeling out here, bro.
For sure, man. Well, you know, we appreciate you. We're gonna continue to support you, brother, and hope to have you on later on down the line.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Growing up the same wins the game.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple of things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore if you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app, you will find us. And subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/DarthAmin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.